turn to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 2. The book of Judges chapter 2. Verses 8 to 12, please. The book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. It reads, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would now fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would lead us and guide us into truth. Help us to glean, help us to learn. Equip us, O God, to better serve this generation and the generation to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Christianity is only one generation, is only one generation away from extinction. It has always been that way. As soon as the godly influence of Joshua was gone, the Bible teaches us in verse 8 that God chose to take him home via death. As soon as the godly influence of Joshua was gone, the Bible teaches us the next generation turned their back on God. They did not claim to know the Lord. And the Bible teaches us in verse 12 that they worship other gods. This denial and open rebellion against the Lord God of the heavens, the Bible teaches us, angered our Lord. Righteous anger. It is estimated that 70% of children that grow up in church leave the church between the ages of 18 and 30. That's churches across the board. 70%. That's extraordinary. 70% of all known churches, it's estimated that by the time they reach 18, between the ages of 18 and 30, they make an exit. In other words, practically, the majority of those that are faithful in church are in the older age bracket, if you stop and think about it. Now, my desire is that we have a larger percentage of young people remaining in church. I'd like to think that's your desire as well. During those formative years to adulthood. And brethren, this morning we need to take responsibility for the next generation. And not have a hopeless attitude concerning young people. Many seem to think very negatively about the upcoming generation. I hear it all the time. They're all rebellious against authority. Many are, but not all. Oh, they're just obsessed with how they look and how they smell. Some are. They're always hungry. And they're wanting to sleep all the time. That's true of some. And these sweeping generalizations pretty well box the next generation to the point that the average adult does little to nothing to change or to shape the next generation. See, the upcoming generation is being groomed right now. And we need to do our part to guide them the right way. Instead of just hoping that our children will turn out right, we need to apply ourselves to help them spiritually. Where do we begin? Good question. The present generation is responsible for the upcoming generation. Joshua was a great leader, in a sense. But yet we must be mindful of the fact that following the book of Joshua comes the book of Judges. So why is it that immediately after the departure of Joshua and his influence, the nation of Israel crumbled? Was there possibly a neglect concerning the next generation? And I believe that we as God's people, if we are not careful, we will make the same mistake. We might sit in our critical corner criticizing the upcoming generation. Well, young people don't work as hard as what we did when we were their age. And the complaints go on and on. And some of those complaints might be justifiable to a point, but the issue is, what are we doing to help the next generation work as hard, per se, as what we did when we were their age? Where do we begin? That's where we begin. We need to pray for the next generation. We need to bring our children before God's throne regularly. This is the greatest service that you and I can provide for the next generation. To pray for them. Prayer will touch lives. Prayer will accomplish beyond our expectation. And if we really believe in the power of prayer, and if we're genuinely concerned for the next generation, and we're prepared to do something about the next generation, you and I as God's people need to begin at the altar of prayer. We need to pray for the next generation. This is the greatest service we can do for our children. In Acts chapter 13, verse 36, the Bible teaches us that King David served his generation. Now, he served his generation predominantly by providing the materials for the temple to come that his son Solomon led in the building thereof. And brethren, this morning, as we consider our monthly theme that we need to pray for the next generation, I believe that is where it should begin. And we need to pray without ceasing for our children. Oh, but Pastor, I don't have any children. Pastor, I don't have any grandchildren. Yes, you do. Just look around. Children, stand up. Teenagers down, stand up. Do as you're told, otherwise I'll embarrass you. This is the next generation. We need to do our part to make sure this generation loves God. You can sit down. They're an obedient bunch, aren't they? We need to invest in the next generation by building a spiritual heritage for them. We need to instruct them in the ways of the Lord in our church and in our homes. We need to inspire them to do something great for God by giving them opportunities to serve, for example. We need to include them in the church, in the home, believing that they can make a difference for God's glory. And the above four principles will be empowered through prayer. We need to pray for the next generation. Pray without ceasing. See, here in Judges chapter 2, the Bible teaches us that Joshua passes on. And so does his generation. And very clearly it spells out in verse number 10, there arose another generation after them that knew not the Lord. They didn't know God. Didn't know of the works of God. Why is it that this new generation did not know God? Did not know the workings of God? I can't believe that all of the new generation wasn't interested. I can't believe that. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And we as adults need to take responsibility of the opportunity that we have before us to pass on our faith to the next generation. Could it well be that the nation of Israel overall did not know God, they did not know the works of God, because their fathers did not talk about God, did not live for God? And this next generation was on a downward spiral to the point where they forsook the Lord altogether. And the Bible teaches us in verse 12 that they worshipped the gods of that land. 70% of young people are leaving the church between the ages of 18 to 30 to worship the gods of the land. Other gods. And I don't know about you, but by God's grace, I'm going to do my part to lessen that percentage. And I want you to jump on board with me and make a commitment this month to pray without ceasing for the next generation. We need to inspire. We need to instruct them. We need to include, we need to invest in them. But the heart of all this investment and instruction, you and I need to pray down the power of God. That God would do a work in the hearts of people, in the hearts of our young people. They likewise, when we are said and done, and we step into eternity, beloved, that they will carry on the baton for God's glory. That's what it's all about. How can we pray for the next generation? Let's turn to Psalm 144, please. I'd like to share with you some areas that we need to commit to God in prayer concerning the next generation. By the next generation, we're referring to our children. I hope that's understood. Here in Psalm 144, a Psalm of David, King David expresses his concerns concerning the current generation and gives us some principles concerning how we should pray for our current generation. There in verse number 11 of Psalm 144, the author makes reference to strange children. Strange children. This is the opposite of godly children. And I don't know about you, as you and I go about our daily duties, as we walk through the shopping centres, I'm sure we've all noticed some strange children. Unusual. And may I submit to you, they were not born that way. Either they grew up in a non-Christian home, or they grew up in a hypocritical Christian home. One or the other. And David's concerned about the generation to come in his day. And note then verse number 11, it reads, "Rid me," or "protect me, deliver me from the hand of strange children." King David was concerned about the young people of his day. I'd like to submit this morning one way that we can pray for our children, the next generation, is to pray for God's protection over them. To pray for God's protection over them. Note here in verse number 11, it goes on to say, "Whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood." Within verse 11, I'd like for us to note three areas of which we need to pray that God will protect our children from these three areas. Area number one, we need to pray for God's protection over our children, that they will not cause trouble. That they will not cause trouble. The king said, "Rid me, deliver me from the hand of strange children." The young people in King David's day were causing trouble. And therefore he rightfully called them strange children. And we need to pray that God will protect our children from being a nuisance to society, being a nuisance to parents, being a nuisance to the local church. We need to pray for God's protection, that God will keep our children from causing trouble. The trouble of rebellion. The trouble of crime. The trouble of graffiti. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we are told that we are to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That should be our prayer. That God would protect our children from trouble, from getting into trouble and causing trouble.
pastor. That won't ever be our children.
By the grace of God, it won't be. We need to pray, adults, that God's protection will prevail over our children, that they will not cause trouble. And secondly, note then verse number 11, we need to pray for God's protection over our children, that they will not believe the devil's lies. That they will not believe the devil's lies. Note then verse 11, it reads, whose mouth speaketh vanity. In John chapter 8 verse 44, the Bible teaches us that the devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. And one of the lies that he propagates is placing value upon materialism. That is a lie of the devil. Following the materialistic values of the world. And we need to pray for our children that God will keep our children from causing trouble. But secondly, we need to pray for God's protection over our children. They will not believe the devil's lies. That there is value in materialism. My Bible teaches me, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The fashions of the world, the clothing, the hairstyles, the body piercing. Just the other day, this fellow was parading down Epping Road without his shirt on, and he had an earring through each of his nipples. I felt like yelling out of my window, "You ugly monster!" But the Spirit of God said, "That's not very spiritual." And guess what? He wasn't smiling. No. He looked absolutely miserable. But he obviously wanted everybody to see that he had rings through his nipples. This is the world, brethren. Sloppy dress. Don't you feel like saying to a lot of these young people, pull your trousers up. Get a belt. I don't care whether you've got Calvin Klein undies or not. Who cares? He was a sodomite and he died a sodomite. Tattoos. Any engraving on the body is an abomination to God. These are the fashions of this world, and may God protect our children from believing the lies of the devil that would say, this is how you look great. This is how you are happy. Garbage. Huh. To pray for God's children. God's protection over His children. They'll not cause trouble, but they will not believe the devil's lies. And also note there at the end of verse number 11, he makes reference to their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Now this is in reference to the fact of living according to the lies of this world. Brethren, need to pray for the next generation that they will not live according to the lies of this world. Need to pray for God's protection over them. They will not believe the devil's lies. That they will not live according to the lies of this world. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, from the very beginning the devil was a liar and questioned the Word of God, questioned the eternal principles of the Word of God. We need to pray that God will protect our children from living according to the lies of this world. For example, wealth equals happiness. That's a lie of the devil. That's not true. Wealth equals happiness. All lasting satisfaction comes by just doing your own thing, eating and drinking and being merry. You'll be happy if you drink alcohol. You'll be happy if you take drugs. You'll be happy if you smoke cigarettes. Coffin nails. Coffin nails. These are lies of the world. My Bible teaches me, love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. We need to love God. We need to pray that our children will be protected from living according to the lies of this world. Children, listen to me this morning. The devil's a liar. Absolute liar. He makes sin attractive. It's ugly. It'll destroy your life. And we're going to pray that God will protect you from it. Our children need to be protected by an obedient heart to the Word of God. We need to pray for God's protection over our children. They will not live according to the lies of this world. Another lie the world is propagating today, that it is an absolute epidemic. It's all right to live with the opposite sex as a de facto. No, it is not. It is sin. It is wrong. And it makes God sick. Oh, but pastor, you need to get to know the other person. Book, chapter, verse. No, you make a commitment to the other person. That's the biblical way. So these are lies of the devil. Oh, but pastor, no, it won't happen to any of our children. Well, let's pray that it won't happen to any of our children. Because I can tell you, Christian children that grew up in Christian homes that are now living in adultery, living in fornication. Children that were homeschooled. Children that grew up in independent Baptist churches. Nobody's exempt. We need to pray for the protection of our children. And it goes on to say in verse number 12, are we still friends? Are you bearing the burden? We are the hope of the next generation. See, Joshua, was Joshua a great man or what? But there was a serious miss. Now, I like Joshua, but there was a serious miss in his life. Because once he died, the nation of Israel went down the gurgler big time. We are one generation away from extinction. And we need to bear that responsibility. We need to pray for God's protection over our children. But note then verse 12, we can also pray that our boys will grow in spiritual maturity. Note then verse 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Pastor, how can we pray for the next generation? Well, we can pray for God's protection over them against trouble or being a source of trouble, against believing and living the lies of the devil. But secondly, brethren, I believe we need to pray for the next generation. We need to pray for our boys specifically that they will grow in spiritual maturity. This was obviously King David's concern, that the young men grow up as strong plants. We need to pray for our young men that they will grow spiritually. Let's pray for our young men, they will thirst and hunger after righteousness. Let's pray for our young men, they will be responsive to the Word of God. See, why do we need to pray for our young men to come, that they will grow in spiritual maturity? We need to pray for them in that regard, because the young men are the future head leaders of the next generation. That's God's pattern. And if the young men, the men don't lead, the women will lead. You can say amen. Yeah. I'm not against women. I married one. I had a daughter for my first child. Got nothing against women. But God has a chain of authority, has He not? We don't have to be ashamed of that. And we need to pray for the young men that they will grow in spiritual maturity, so that they will assume their responsibility and their calling from God to lead their home and lead their church and lead their nation. That is God's plan. I didn't make the rules, so don't get upset with me. The young men are the next generation of leadership. We need to pray that they'll be good examples, that they'll be well trained, they'll act beyond their years, that they'll demonstrate godly characteristics, that they'll have spiritual desires, that they will live holy and godly. Brethren, we need to pray towards that end. We need to pray for the spiritual maturing of our young men. And also note then verse 12, it goes on to read, concerning the daughters. Now of course it's understood that we're praying for spiritually mature young ladies too. So you don't get out of it, young ladies. We want you to be spiritually mature as well. But note specifically here in verse 12, he makes reference to the daughters maybe as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. A cornerstone was critical to the stability of a building structure. And this cornerstone that's referred to here in verse 12 is a precious stone. It had its own beauty within. And yet, it was important to the stability of the structure. And brethren, this morning we need to pray for our children. We need to pray for God's protection over our children. We need to pray that the young men will grow in spiritual maturity so that they will assume their responsibility from God to be a spiritual leader. But also we need to pray for the young ladies that they will develop inner beauty. Behind every great man is a great woman. And we need to pray that our ladies will reflect the glory of Christ from within their hearts. It's easy to look okay on the outside. We need to have spiritual beauty from within. We can't underestimate the importance of a godly man, but there is a need for godly young ladies. Amen. And we need to pray that these young ladies will grow in spiritual maturity, and their focus will be not on the outward beauty, not the neglect of the outward, but not the overemphasis on the outward, but their main focus is upon being godly from within. So that they can complement and supplement and make a great man of God. Need to pray. The young ladies, they'll focus upon inner beauty. The worldly young lady of our day isn't focused upon inner beauty. The focus is upon the outward. Am I right or not? So obvious. A little bit of TLC on the outward doesn't hurt. And we certainly would encourage that. But everything within its boundary. Brethren, we need to pray for our
children. Pray that young men will grow in maturity. Pray for the young ladies, they'll focus upon inner beauty. We need to pray through the following passages. We don't have time to look at these, but you might want to write these down. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31, gives us a whole list of things that we can pray for concerning the young ladies. What about 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 to 15? Further principles that we can pray for concerning the young ladies. And what about 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 6? Principles that will help us to pray specifically for the young ladies. So we need to pray for our daughters. They will develop inner beauty. Quickly, number 4, we need to pray that God will protect that God will provide the needs of our children. We need to pray that God will provide the needs of our children and that our children will acknowledge that God has provided. Amen. There in verse number 13, it makes reference to our garners may be full, affording all good manner of store. The idea here is that the provisions of God. And one of the ways that we can pray for our children, adults this morning, is that we can pray that God will provide their needs. There's nothing wrong with that. But also, I believe we need to pray that God will not only provide their needs, but we need to pray that God's people will acknowledge that God has provided. We live in a very thankless day, do we not? You know, it was said just the other day, within a nation, the land of plenty that was established upon Christian principles, in the land of plenty, and all of us are beneficiaries of that, it's in the midst of plenty, a nation that was founded upon Christian principles, not Islamic principles, right. Not Buddhist principles, right. Not Hindu principles, Christian principles, we have all of this ungodliness. No wonder God has said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Absolute blindness. We need to pray that God will provide the needs of our children, that our children will say, thank you, Lord. Amen. It's important. Quickly, number 5. The second part of verse 13 is in reference to productivity. We need to pray that our children will be fruitful and productive. It makes reference to bringing forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. Productivity. We need to pray that our children will support society and that they'll not become a victim of social welfare due to wrong choices, laziness, or irresponsibility. Now, I'm not saying that all people that are on social welfare have made wrong choices, are lazy and irresponsible. I'm not saying that, but a lot are. Say amen. Right. You know it's true. Right. I'm not saying all, but a lot are. And over 20 years of ministry, I've seen many of those cases. They're in trouble because they're lazy. Right. They're in trouble because they made wrong choices. They're in trouble because they're irresponsible. And we need to pray that God will spare our children, that they will not become a victim of social welfare, but our children will be productive and fruitful for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Is that okay to say that? It needs to be said. It needs to be said. Verse number 14 makes reference to strength. What I call meekness. That our oxen may be strong to labour. That there be no breaking in or going out. There be no complaining in our streets. A wonderful prayer on the behalf of our children. Found in verse 14. Listen carefully. Pray
that our children will use their strengths to build others up,
Amen.
As opposed to causing trouble. Pray that our children will use their gifts and their abilities to build others up and glorify God. Whether it be musical ability, whether it be intellectual ability, whether it be physical ability, we need to pray that our children will use their gifts and abilities. These gifts and abilities will be used wisely for the glory of God and to the benefit of others. See, King Saul was very gifted. Samson was very gifted. Yet these men did not channel their strengths spiritually. And parents, listen to me. Adults, listen to me. We need to pray that whatever gifts and abilities that God gives to our children, that they will take those gifts and abilities and use them for the betterment of our society and for the glory of Almighty God. Instead of being a liability to our society, a liability to our nation. Amen. You know what I'm saying is right. Oh, but Pastor, it'll never happen to our children. Don't you believe it? I've seen her already. I've seen children that were raised in the, quote unquote, the ideal Christian home. I have visited them in the psychiatric centre. I have visited them in the men's homes. So don't take it for granted. We need to pray for the power of God, the protection of God. We need to pray that our children will use their strengths to glorify others. And last but not least, look at verse 15. This is very, very important. It's profound. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. We need to pray that our children will be happy. And that our children will understand that true, lasting happiness comes by loving and obeying God. Children, look at me, please. If you want to be happy, really happy, it's found by loving God.
Amen.
Obeying His word. You won't find happiness in the world. It's full of filth. It's full of lies. It's full of deception. Happiness comes by knowing and living for the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
And we as adults, listen to me, we as adults need to live as if we really believe that.
Amen.
And we need to pray for our children as if we really believe that. So we need to pray that our children will be happy. I pray for that constantly. I'm almost obsessed with it. Because I've just worked out if my children will be happy living for the Lord, they'll see that that's where happiness really is.
Amen.
We need to pray for our children's happiness. Well, have you got my point this morning that we need to pray for the next generation? The greatest contribution we can make for the next generation is to pray for them. Pray specifically for our children. You might be wondering, Pastor, how do I pray for the next generation? Well, I've given you 7 principles. This is not exhaustive, just a couple of examples. Number 1, we pray for their protection. Number 2, we pray specifically that our boys will grow in spiritual maturity. Number 3, we pray that our daughters will develop and focus upon inner beauty.
Number four, we pray that God will provide the needs of our children and that our children will acknowledge the Lord as the provider. Number five, we need to pray that our children will be fruitful and productive with their lives. Number six, we need to pray that our children will use their strengths to build up others. And last but not least, we need to pray that our children will be happy. Happy honouring and obeying parents. Happy serving the Lord. Happy being in church. Let's pray for the next generation. Did you hear me? Need to pray for the next generation.
Amen.
Stop criticizing the next generation. Let's pray for them. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.